Welcome in once again to That SEC Podcast, episode number 15, as my good friend SEC Mike points out to me. Mike, how's it going today, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well. I can't believe we've made it to week five already, and no coach has been fired, despite, I've seen dozens and dozens of headlines saying, Coach X is going to get fired, Coach Z is on the hot seat.
Coach O.
Hey, I actually wrote a column, saying he'll be the first one to go, but I did specify that's not going to happen till the end of the year. So at least,
really?
At least give me that. We just kind of ran a column on Saturday Down South. They kind of asked several people that work there who will be the first coach to be let go, and my answer was Coach O at the end of the season.
Was this recently, or was this like before the season? Because I haven't seen it.
I believe this ran Thursday morning.
Okay, well, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but that's, so you're going with Coach O. That's interesting. I was going to say, give it maybe about 48 hours and we would probably have one fired, but I don't know. I think it depends. What are your thoughts on that? Well, first of all, let's backtrack here, regroup for a second. As we said here, this is episode number 15. We'll get into our predictions and all that good stuff here in just a few minutes. But talking about the coaching hot seat and coaches that could be let go, any chance in your mind that Butch Jones at Tennessee could be exiting Knoxville if that game gets ugly on Saturday?
No, I don't think there's any chance of that. Now, I do think, if they get worked in this game, there's so much hype. There's going to be a lot of attention on this game. It really could be the beginning of the end for Butch Jones if they get blown out in this game. But I don't think there's any chance that they'll fire him. I've seen Barrett Salee said they'll fire him on Sunday. I just think that's kind of ridiculous.
Well, I think he's done enough to this point to have kind of earned at least maybe through the season, I would think. But There are a lot of question marks around it for me. First of all, John Curry, the new athletic director, we don't know much about his processes. Mm-hmm. Is that the plural? Processes? I don't know. We don't know much about what he will do in a situation like this, whether he would give Butch through the end of the season or not, if that situation were to arise. And then also, I wonder about the early signing period. That's something you and I have talked a little bit about. Will we see schools making changes sooner than we usually would because of that's implemented this season? So
now I think that's a really good point, and that's just something that remains to be seen because we've never had it before. This is obviously the first signing day where we'll have two. We'll have an early one in December. But, I was going back in my mind and just thinking, last season LSU made the move early. They got rid of Les Miles four games into the season. And what did that accomplish? I mean, they had months head start on everybody, including Texas, and they didn't get their guy. They didn't get Jimbo Fisher. They stayed with Coach O. And I just think that, even given a head start, I'm not sure what that helps, because it's not like, throw a name out there, whoever Tennessee may be targeting. Let's just say like Mike Gundy or Gary Patterson from TCU. It's not like those guys are just going to abandon their job in, October, November to come running to Tennessee. They're going to let their seasons play out. And who knows? Those could be playoff-type caliber teams. They may change their mind by the time December rolls around. So I just don't really know what you gain from that, because you could let's say Tennessee is leaning towards getting rid of Butch Jones. They can keep him as a coach, and all that goes on behind the scenes anyway with agents and athletic directors. I don't see the need to get rid of someone in the middle of the year.
Well, I think you make a good point if you're looking at hiring a coach who's already at another school. But I think that something that could happen is, there are some people who think maybe Tennessee would go after someone who's not coaching right now, who would be in a better position to come in straight into Tennessee as opposed to waiting until the end of the season with their respective team. Obviously, of course, a couple of the names that I think at least one is very irrational. But as always, you're hearing the names John Gruden and Chip Kelly. And so, obviously, either of those guys could come in immediately. And also, I think
if I can stop you, I'll throw another one out that I think is equally as realistic that is available right now. Art Briles. Let's bring him into the conversation.
Yeah, Art Briles. Yeah, sure. Les Miles, maybe. He's not coaching either. I do think Chip Kelly would be – Gruden is just – I'm tired of even talking about that, but mm-hmm. – Chip Kelly is a guy who I think would get a phone call, or there would be some entertained interest there on Tennessee's side, possibly. But or whoever we're talking about, if we're talking about A&M or Auburn or whoever, I think it's
you know, one thing about Chip Kelly that is interesting that I've kind of forgotten since he left, but he left college and he got a show cause. Now that show cause is over, but I think that's going to give especially a program like Tennessee, a lot of hesitation looking at a guy like him. John Curry has a reputation for not wanting to mess around with any kind of NCAA issues. That's kind of why he had a falling out there with Frank Martin from Kansas State. You know, was arguably one of the best college basketball coaches in the country, and he had to leave the program. He's now at South Carolina, and now they're involved in this FBI investigation. Mm-hmm. So, his record indicates to me that he would not go anywhere near a Chip Kelly type coach.
Yeah, I do wonder if the issues with Chip Kelly would be enough to keep him away. But regardless, the thing I'm thinking is, even if you didn't get someone who wasn't coaching, I think if you were trying to target an assistant somewhere, I think they would be more likely to leave. If you were, you know, but I mean, what Tennessee fan or Auburn fan or A&M fan or Arkansas fan for that matter, you know, you wonder how many great assistants there are who are getting ready to become head coaches. But if you were to find one of those and he ended up being your guy, I think there's a more likely chance that one of an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator might leave midseason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much a head coach.
And, you know, I think another thing that's not talked about enough, whenever an AD hires a football coach, so we keep talking about Tennessee. Let's go back to that. John Curry inherited Butch Jones. If Butch Jones turns out to fail, that doesn't reflect bad on John Curry. But if he lets go of Butch Jones and he hires someone else and the program starts to slide, well, guess who's next is John Curry, because he's going to be judged on his, you know, right now he's got such a long rope. There's anything Butch Jones does, it's not going to come back on him. And I don't think people realize that. I don't think a lot of these ADs are just rushing to essentially start the clock on themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think most ADs would prefer to not have to go through this process if they could avoid it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just the thing in Knoxville, the pressure is so – it is getting – the kitchen is getting really hot, I guess is the way to put it. And I feel like Butch Jones in particular, I mean, he's the Vegas favorite right now for SEC coaches to be fired first. I feel like – it is really heating up for him. I feel like he's beginning to get overwhelmed, but I think you make a good point, and this is something I've tried to tell Tennessee fans for a couple of weeks now, and people think I'm just nuts for saying this, but you know, I thought it was pretty simple. I said, look, if you make a change, I understand. I'm not saying there aren't better coaches out there. I think Tennessee could do better than Butch Jones, but if you decide to make a change, you've really got to get it right. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, whether Butch Jones is an average or above average coach, he's somewhere in there. I think he's an 8 or 9 win type coach. So, you know, if you make a change, you better get a big name.
Right. And, you know, as we saw last year with LSU, you know, they swung for the fences with Jimbo Fisher, Tom Herman. And just because you're an elite SEC program, it doesn't mean you're going to get these guys. You know, there's so many factors that play into it. You know, ages ago, Alabama, they thought they had Rich Rodriguez, and even he said no. So it doesn't matter how great your program is, you're not always guaranteed to just reel in the top guy that you want.
You're exactly right. And I think that Auburn, Texas A&M, and Tennessee are three SEC programs that should keep that in mind. And exactly what you just said. Look at LSU last year and what happened to them. I think that those schools should keep that in mind. Now, with Alabama not getting Rich Rod, I guess everything turned out okay for them, though.
Yeah. That's an understatement for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I guess we can get into some of these week five games now.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start with this was probably going to be one of the most boring games on the slate, so let's get it out of the way. New Mexico State's traveling to Arkansas. That's a noon kick on SEC Network. And the line on that one is Arkansas minus 16.5. And I like Arkansas, but I'm not having them to cover. So I'm going to say Arkansas 30, New Mexico State 14.
Yeah, we talked about that game a little bit earlier in the week and how that line was kind of intriguing because even though New Mexico State's not very good, they have been close in some games against decent teams, and I believe that their only loss was, what, the 24-13 to Boise State, or I may be thinking of someone else. But anyway, the line is intriguing there. I'm not sure that Arkansas won't cover it. I think Arkansas probably wins the game by 17-21. So I'll take the Hogs in this one to cover, but not by much. I'll go 42-21.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my main takeaway from this game, it doesn't really have much to do with the game itself, but I'm just very curious to see the fan support. You know, this is not obviously a marquee opponent to noon kickoff. I'm just really interested to see if the fan base is still with Bielema, which I think they should be, but that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't think you'll have the kind of crowd there that you had for that TCU game, but hopefully they'll still have some support.
Okay, so here's the other noon kickoff in the SEC this week. This is going to be on ESPN, so this follows game day. But Vanderbilt, coming off that ass-whipping from Alabama there, they're traveling to Florida. And the line in that game is Florida minus 10. And I have Florida winning, but I don't have them covering. I got the final score, Florida 20, Vanderbilt 18.
I have seen that line move down to 9.5 and as low as 9 in some places. Okay. And so I think that, which that's kind of, I think, what we leaned to, or at least I did, I know, toward expecting earlier in the week, because I was just stunned that the line was as high as it was at 10 or 10.5. So, you know, I think Vanderbilt covers. You said you think it's a 2-point game, 20-18.
I think it's going to be low scoring, and you know, I think this is one of those games where Florida just kind of pulls out of their ass. I think it's going to be maybe a long field goal to win it as time expires, something like that.
I would tend to agree with that. I think you're dead on with that one. I think it's like I think it's close. I think it's maybe a field goal game, like a 16-13, or maybe 17-16, 20-17, somewhere in there. I think it's about a field goal game. I do not think Florida will beat Vanderbilt by two scores. I think Vegas is probably taking into effect a lot what Alabama was able to do to Vanderbilt, but Florida is not even close to that level. So I think it'll be a field goal game.
Yeah, and you know, as strange as it is, you know, we really don't know much about the Gators, how good they are. They're technically in first place in the East. They're 2-0 in the SEC. So, you know, they just keep squeaking by. It's what they've done for years under McElwain. I just see that trend continuing on this one.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think it's a close Florida win probably, but you know, I don't think Florida's that good. I said. Last Saturday, I think the East is basically, you've got one really good team in Georgia, you got one really bad team in Missouri, and everybody there in the middle, 2 through 6, I think pretty much could beat each other on any given day. So, but Florida probably would have the edge out of those other five teams there, just because of the fact that they are used to winning these games close and winning them with their defense. So I do give Florida the edge, especially, you know, it's in the swamp. So I like them by a field goal over Vandy.
Okay, the afternoon game on the SEC Network, Eastern Michigan at Kentucky. That line is at 14.5 in favor of Kentucky. And I like a little bit of a hangover here for Kentucky, but I obviously have them winning. I'll go Kentucky 27, Eastern Michigan 13.
You know, Kentucky has a history so far this year, in their two games against lower tier competition. Southern Miss, that was a touchdown game, 24-17. They ended up beating Eastern Kentucky by 11, but struggled for a really long time in that game up into the second half. So this game reminds me a little bit of those two games. You look at Eastern Michigan, nothing really stands out except for the fact that they did beat Rutgers, a Power 5 team, on the road, 16-13. They lost a close one to a pretty decent Ohio team out of the MAC. So Eastern Michigan, I think I tend to agree with you. I could see Kentucky coming out a little slow in this one. I could see Eastern Michigan hanging around for until halftime, maybe three quarters. Ultimately, I do like Kentucky to win, but I think it'll end up being another one of those low-scoring games where Kentucky's probably about 10 points better. So I'll take Kentucky 27-17, pulling away in the fourth.
All right, now let's jump to the night ESPNU game. We're calling this the Cody McClure upset special.
Oh,
Troy
boy.
At LSU. That line is 19.5 in favor of LSU. And, you know, you've kind of won me over. I've studied Troy up this week. I like LSU to win, but only by 3 points. So I'm going to go LSU 26, Troy 23.
Well, let's keep in mind, when I wrote what I did, it was more of a shock reaction. I'm a shock jock. That's what I am. So it's like, as far as I did think coming into the season, to be honest, if there was one Sun Belt team that could give one SEC team a run, I really did think it was this game. And you know, Mike, I mean, we come into this point. I do think Troy's going to cover 19.5. I think that's a huge number. But coming into this game, I mean, honestly, LSU banged up on the D-line and in the secondary and at linebacker. I mean, they are banged up on defense as a whole. Mm-hmm. The offensive line having trouble moving people. I think they had trouble blocking Syracuse. The one decent team that they've played this year, they got blown out by 30 to Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And you look at Troy coming into this game, the one loss, that's the loss I was thinking earlier, not New Mexico State. It was Troy, who their one loss is to Boise State. And then three straight wins. You know, they haven't beaten anybody, really. But Alabama State, they beat that New Mexico State team. They beat Akron. So, obviously, a different kind of battle going to Death Valley. LSU still should win the game, without a doubt. But I do think it's closer than the experts think. Let's not forget, Troy, last year they gave Clemson everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That game, I believe, went to overtime. It was 30-24. And so I think it'll be – I think Troy will lose by probably – I'll say 6 points. I'll say LSU squeaks out a 6-point win. I like Troy to cover, definitely.
Yeah, this would be my favorite game to bet on this week in the SEC. I think the public perception is significantly too high on LSU. They don't even deserve to be ranked, in my opinion. Troy is significantly better than the public perception. Troy is going to spread them out, pass the ball over the field, similar to what Syracuse did last week. They had a lot of success on LSU. You know, Syracuse really should have won that game. They didn't throw a pick six the first play, but they threw an interception that was returned to the one, which led to a touchdown. They had a drop touchdown right in front of right before half. It would have been about a 60-yard touchdown pass. I mean, you cannot go into Death Valley and have those kind of errors and win. And they lost by single digits to LSU last week. So I think this Troy team, a similar caliber to that Syracuse, maybe even a little bit better. If they can eliminate those mistakes, there's a real chance they beat LSU. It doesn't sound like Darius Geis is going to play. It sounds like LSU is going to be rotating quarterbacks. That's a troubling sign of, you know, basically the halfway point of the season. This could be a very tight game.
I just tell you one thing, Mike. If Troy somehow beats LSU, everybody out there better just mute me or unfollow me on Twitter, because I'm going to be prancing around the Twitter streets like a kid who just got his first retweet. I'm going to be screenshotting, oh, yeah, look who called this one back in August.
I'm rooting for this so bad just so that you're right.
Yeah, me too. What is it they say? Even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So that would be me. I'm the broken clock, but I don't know. Who knows? I got close on my special last year, Georgia Southern and Ole Miss, but didn't quite happen.
Well, I think this year it's going to happen.
I hope so.
All right, let's jump to South Carolina's traveling to Texas A&M. That's a 7:30 kick on SEC Network. South Car or excuse me, Texas A&M is a 10-point favorite, and I've got Texas A&M covering. I like Texas A&M 31, South Carolina 20.
Really? Okay. It's tough for me because I do respect Will Muschamp, his defenses, even though when statistically they're not all that good, I respect them when they have to step up. And I don't know. I feel like a game at Texas A&M, South Carolina would show up to play, but I tend to lean with you. I don't know that they'll cover. I think it's more of a probably about a touchdown game, but I do tend to say Texas A&M is not as good as people give them credit, or Texas A&M is better, I think, than people have given them credit for, because I said earlier in the week, if not for that huge misstep against UCLA, people forget, yeah, they totally choked, but they were ahead 44-10, and so to be that way going into the fourth, you've got to play a pretty good game. I think that they've been better than people give them credit for. I don't think they're great, but I think they're a typical Kevin Sumlin 7-9 win team, probably 8-4, and I do think Texas A&M will win this game at Kyle Field. I'll say it's by a touchdown somewhere along the lines of 31-24.
Yeah, and everything you said, I agree with. I've really come around on this Texas A&M team. They're a very young group, but they seem to be playing really well right now. Kellen Mond is starting to come on. He's obviously limited in the passing game still, but when he takes off, he's a great player. I like a lot of the weapons they have on offense. Of course, Christian Kirk's one of the guy on our site. John Chris says Kirk is the best player in the SEC. So, I mean,
I agree.
that's a pretty bold statement right there, but I mean he almost single-handedly won that Arkansas game last week, so that you can make that case. They've got a lot of weapons, so I just think that South Carolina is also a young team going, so far away from Columbia under the lights, Texas A&M. I think it's just going to be a tough game for them. They've been struggling without Deebo Samuel. I think this is a game that this is an interesting game because I think if Texas A&M loses this game, we already kind of went into, no SEC team is going to fire their coach immediately. I don't think Kevin Sumlin would get fired for losing this game immediately, but I do think it would be kind of the beginning of the end because it's going to be really tough for them to have a great record if they're losing to opponents like this. And on the flip side, if South Carolina drops this game, they'll have dropped two SEC games, and I think their chances of winning the East are gone if they lose this one. So this is a really interesting game that's kind of under the radar this week.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good way to put it, is under the radar, because you have a couple of other really big SEC matchups this week. So maybe not as many people will be tuning into this one, but I think this would probably be maybe my third favorite matchup inside the conference this week. So, and I do love this time of the year. We're starting to get into the point where it's like SEC teams against each other every week now. I mean, we've still got a few non-conference games, but for the most part, we're about to get into the real meat of the schedule, which is what I love.
Yeah, and speaking of an underrated game, in my opinion, the Ole Miss, this is the night game. They're traveling to Alabama. It's looks like a 9 kickoff on ESPN. The spread in this game is Alabama minus 27.5. And I really like Ole Miss to cover, obviously not to win. I like Alabama 38, Ole Miss 20.
Really? Okay. The more that I've thought about this, I know that Ole Miss can throw the ball around against teams that aren't very good. And I know that Ole Miss in the past has had Alabama's number. But this just feels like a totally different situation to me. There's no Chad Kelly there. Shea Patterson's been good, but I don't think you have as many weapons at receiver. You definitely don't have as good of a defense as you've had in the past. Ole Miss is coming off of a game, and I know they've had a bye week, but they're coming off of a loss at California where they got beat 27-16. And if you look at Shea Patterson by the numbers against decent teams with decent defenses, he's kind of been nowhere to be found. He's put up big numbers against garbage defenses, but I just don't think that Ole Miss is going to have much of a chance in this game. It's in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's playing as they're coming off of a game where they looked as good as they have in a regular season game under Nick Saban, in my opinion. So I think Alabama is starting to click on all cylinders, and I think this is going to be a total bloodbath.
All right, well, you're going to be wrong again.
But, All right. Well, can't wait. Always love when we disagree.
All right, so you're Mississippi State Bulldogs traveling to Auburn.
No. I disown this team, I told you. Vanderbilt's my team this week.
All right, they're kicking off at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Auburn is a 9.5-point favorite. And I like Auburn to not only win the game but to cover here. I got it Auburn 27, Mississippi State 14.
I think I can agree with you on this one. I'm starting to buy into Auburn, and I hate to say that just because they went on the road and beat a garbage Missouri team. That's not really what swayed my opinion, but I do think about the talent disparity and the fact that Auburn is so good. I think Stidham's really good. It's the defense where they win games. But I think they're coming along on offense. I mean, they put up 51 points last week. And again, you know, Mizzou, right? But I thought that the running game has looked better. The throwing game has looked good. I really think Auburn might be – I would have them as the third most complete team in the SEC right now behind Alabama and Georgia. And I do like Auburn to beat Mississippi State as much as I was in love with the Bulldogs last week. They let me down. So I'm going War Eagle here. I'm with you. I think they'll cover. I think it's about a two-score game. I'll go Auburn 31-17.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very high on Auburn. I would even go a step further. I think they're possibly the best team in the SEC. And if not the best, I think they're number two. They have a dominant defense. I think they can force Mississippi State to kind of get somewhat one-dimensional in this game. And the offense is starting to come around. You know, I knew this would take a little while. A quarterback that taken a year off, coming into a system that he's not familiar with a bunch of young receivers. But that's starting to click. And look at it this way, too. Auburn's played Mercer and Missouri and now this game, whereas Mississippi State is just coming off LSU, Georgia, and now into this. I mean, that's such a grind compared to the kind of the previous 2 weeks that Auburn has. They should be much, much better physically for this game. And I think that's really going to take its toll. I think Mississippi State will come out with a lot more passion. They'll play much better than they did against Georgia, but I still don't think it'll be enough to make this a competitive game.
You make a good point, I think, about Auburn probably coming in a lot healthier. And I do think, I would say maybe Mississippi State is more battle-tested, but then I remember that Auburn had to play Clemson, and that's about as big of a battle as you can have. So I don't really think that that's going to be an excuse in this one. I think this is a chance, though, for Auburn, because other than the Clemson game, they've not really played anyone. And so I think that this is a chance for Auburn to come out and say, hey, here we are. This can be a statement game for Auburn, kind of like Mississippi State was for Georgia last week.
Yeah, and they've only played one SEC game. They've got, you know, essentially every game the rest of the way aside from one is an SEC opponent. So this is a time to kind of state their claim as a true contender in the West, in my opinion. All right, the final game on our docket here, the CBS game. Georgia is traveling to Tennessee. That'll kick at 3:30 on CBS. And Georgia is a 7.5-point favorite. And I like Georgia to win the game, but I like Tennessee to cover. I like Georgia 20, Tennessee 14.
This one is such a puzzling game to me. I've gone back and forth like 1,000 times this week because everything points to a Georgia blowout. You know, the series has been close. Every year since 2011, this game has been decided by 8 points or less. That's well known. That's a fact. People point to it, and I get it. Games in Knoxville. It's the first SEC road trip for Fromm. I think Neyland Stadium is going to be way tougher to play in than Notre Dame was for Georgia in week two. I do question how good Notre Dame is. So there are a lot of reasons where you can, I think there are some question marks with Georgia where you can wonder about, hey, this is maybe their first real big test, first real road test. But here's the thing. I look on paper, and I understand games aren't played on paper and that Butch Jones's teams, typically, a lot of times they'll play up to the competition and down to the competition and all that kind of good stuff. But I look at this game from a matchup standpoint, and the more and more I think about it, I don't think that Tennessee is anywhere close to Georgia in this game. Georgia's running backs, I think Tennessee's going to get gashed. I think that Fromm will have easy throws like he did against Mississippi State. It'll be, you know, short completions, managing the offense kind of stuff. I think that Chubb and Michelle are going to be really hard to contain. And then on the other side of the ball, I don't know how Tennessee is going to be able to protect Quentin Dormady. George is going to key on John Kelly, take him away. And so they're going to make Dormady try to beat him. And I just don't see that happening. I think Georgia wins this game. I think Tennessee gets blown out in Neyland Stadium.
What would be a score prediction from you there?
I'm going to go Georgia 45-17.
Yeah, now the way you were kind of explaining it, you know, I kind of had a lot of the same feelings, but I'm just not very high on Jake Fromm. I mean, he's played well, but he's never done it in this kind of atmosphere before. And the way you were kind of laying it out, I could see it going that way. It kind of reminded me of last season's game against Alabama. I could kind of see that type of deal. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this was an interesting stat that I saw. The last three home games, SEC home games, Tennessee's had Alabama, Kentucky, Missouri. All three of those teams rushed for over 420 yards each. Yep. On Tennessee. And that obviously didn't really get fixed. You know, Georgia Tech went for 560 something on them. I don't know. I think this is kind of a nightmare matchup. But I look for Jake Fromm to kind of make a mistake or two. He made a couple mistakes against Notre Dame. It hurt him once. It didn't hurt him the second time. But I think if he could make a few mistakes that could really cost Georgia in this game. And I think outside of those, I think it potentially would be a blowout if let's say Jacob Eason was playing.
I don't know that the Tennessee defense will give up 45. I'll go 38-10. I don't think Tennessee will score 17 either. I think my official pick for this game is 38-10 Georgia. I just really, really worry about it for Tennessee. And, you know, I would like to think that Tennessee can come in and play well. They always do against Georgia, and especially with it being at home. But it's just from a matchup standpoint, I worry tremendously about Tennessee against this team. I feel like they're going to get brutalized on the ground. And I do think, I wonder if Butch Jones has lost his locker room. That's another whole different story. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the matchup standpoint in this game, I think both teams will have a similar game plan. I think Tennessee will try to take away Georgia's run game and make Fromm beat them on the road on third down, you know, try to get him to third down and make him throw. I think that's got to be the game plan for Tennessee. And then I think it's the same for Georgia. Like I said, I think they'll take John Kelly away. And then, you know, because you got some really good running backs in this game. And so I think that we'll be looking at maybe similar game plans, but I feel like Georgia will execute it better.
So it sounds like you're wanting to call this the third down for what game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, I think if it gets to that, it might favor Tennessee because in passing situations, Tennessee's got the number four pass defense in the SEC, Georgia dead last in the conference in throwing the ball. Of course, that's because they haven't had to all that much, but the fact remains, I think Tennessee could have an advantage there.
Yeah, and I think you're looking at it, though, at, you know, in a smart way. You know, I'm not a big fan of saying, you know, this has been a close game for X amount of years, thus this year it's going to be close. That's just not a logical way of looking at it.
Right.
The matchups are kind of nightmarish coming into this. You know, obviously if Tennessee plays like they did against UMass, they may lose by 50. But if they play like they did against Florida with a little bit more efficiency, I think they really could win this game. I don't know, it'll probably be somewhere in between, and that's kind of why I have them losing by 6 here.
Yeah, well, I do hope it's a close game, because I always like to see a close game on the, you know, it's the CBS game of the week. So, like last week, I mean, it was miserable with the 59-0 Alabama win. Mm-hmm. So I do hope it's a close game, because I want to be entertained. But even if we're not entertained with this Georgia-Tennessee game, we do have some other good ones out there this weekend. You know, I think we've mentioned quite a few matchups that are really, really intriguing this weekend. And I'm excited to see Auburn. I'm excited to see Vandy in Florida in the noon game. So I think it should be a pretty solid weekend of football.
And one final thought on these games. If Georgia and Tennessee comes down to a Hail Mary, which team do you have less confidence defending that?
Oh, boy. That's probably Tennessee at this point, because even though, regardless of what happened last year, I think Georgia would remember that, and I don't know if Tennessee has any receivers who can jump up there and get it like Jawan Jennings did. So
that's one also thing that we had not talked about. You know, that was humiliating for Georgia last year on their home field. They thought they had that game won. They played like a bunch of idiots on that Hail Mary, gave it up. You know, they have to have been thinking about that for a year. And you know that, you know, they look like they're rolling. They look like a different team. And I think, you know, I don't think that they're going to get big-headed when they think back to last year and how that felt, how the win was taken away from them. I think they could, you know, they're incredibly focused to just essentially do the same thing to Tennessee, but end it by the first or second quarter.
Yeah, and I worry about the Tennessee crowd, too, in this one, because I do think it'll be mostly orange in this game. I think Tennessee fans will show up and they'll be loud and they'll make it hard for Georgia in the first half. But if this game goes, this is something I've been talking about a lot this week on radio. If this game ends up being one of those typical Tennessee games where they have to get down 3 scores to start playing, I think the crowd will start to dissipate. I think if it's 21-3 at halftime or 24-7 or something like that, which we've seen so many times in these big home games for Tennessee, I think you're going to see a lot more people leaving in droves. I think it'll be really bad come second half.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about Nick Chubb, you know, making his return to Neyland Stadium. I think that'll be somewhat of a motivating factor as well. Yeah, he was not very good in my mind last season. He was still kind of coming back. But he looks not quite as good as he did before the injury, but he's very, very close to that. So I look for him to have a big game, not only obviously stat-wise, but maybe lifting up his team. I could see them getting it done for the senior Nick Chubb.
Yeah, and you know, if there's one team he wants to come out and run all over, it's Tennessee after that injury 2 years ago. So should be fun. Any other closing thoughts on the games this weekend?
No, I'll just be real curious to see if Nigel Warrior, you know, punches the competition this week.
Yeah, well, you know, Georgia fans have been referring to Shy Tuttle as I Shuttle. I don't know if you've heard that, but they've been calling him I Shuttle. So that's something else to look forward to in that one. But anyway, we'll get together again on Sunday when the lines come out, and so we will do a podcast at that point in time. Until then, hope everybody has a great weekend watching football, as always, and thank you for tuning in with us once again. So for SEC Mike, Michael Bratton, I'm Cody McClure. We will see you guys next time.